Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch's hearings that have been ongoing this week in the Capitol. And it's been actually more fascinating than I thought these sorts of things could be. This is Senator Al Franken of Minnesota. He's talking to Neil Gorsuch about a case involving a trucking company called Trans-Am, Trans-America. It's a trucking company. One of their truck drivers was fired. He said, "You can't fire me for doing what I did," which was refuse to drive what he felt was an unsafe truck. And while the court held that that man was right, he has rights and he shouldn't have had to drive the truck, Neil Gorsuch actually filed a dissenting opinion, which made Senator Franken absolutely crazy.
Or he's about to come back on, notices his brakes are frozen on his trailer. Okay, so he decides, "I'm not going to go on. It's dangerous to go with frozen brakes." Gets to dispatcher says, "Well, wait, hang on there." Okay, a couple hours goes by, the heater is not working in his cab, it's 14 below zero. He calls in and he says, "My feet, I can't feel them. My torso, I'm beginning not to be able to feel my torso." Okay, now he actually falls asleep. And at 1:18 a.m., his cousin, calls him and wakes him up. And his cousin says that he is slurring his speech. Now, Mayo Clinic in Minnesota says that is hypothermia. You can freeze to death. You can die. So he has a couple choices here. Wait or take the trailer out with the frozen brakes onto the interstate. Now, when those brakes are locked, you can go maybe, 10, 15 miles an hour? Now, what's that like on an interstate? Say you're going 75 miles an hour. Someone's going 75 miles an hour. They come over a hill and slam into that trailer. Also, he's got hypothermia. He's a little woozy. Probably figures that's not too safe. I don't think you'd want to be on the road with him, would you, Judge?
Senator,
you would?
It's a
really easy yes or no. Would you like to be on the road with him?
Want to be on the road with him?
Yeah.
With the hitched trailer or the unhitched trailer, Senator?
Well, either, but especially with the hitched trailer with the locked brakes.
No, I don't think that
okay,
was a serious
I thought
option.
That was, I wouldn't want to be there either.
Yeah.
Okay. Gets fired. He gets fired. And the rest of the judges all go, "That's ridiculous. He shouldn't. You can't fire a guy for doing that." There were two safety issues here. One, the possibility of freezing to death or driving with that rig in a very, very very dangerous way. Which would you have chosen? Which would you have done, Judge?
Oh, Senator, I don't know what I would have done if I were in his shoes, and I don't blame him at all for a moment for doing what he did do. I empathize with him entirely.
Okay, we've been talking about this case. You haven't decided what you would have done? You haven't thought about for a second what you would have done in
this
case?
I thought a lot about this case.
What would you have done?
I totally empathize and understand.
I'm asking you a question. Please answer questions.
Senator, I don't know. I wasn't in the man's shoes, but I understand why
you don't know what you would have done. Okay, I tell you what I would have done. I would have done exactly what he did.
Yeah, I understand.
And I think everybody here would have done exactly what he did. And I think that's an easy answer. Frankly, I don't know why he had difficulty answering that. That's absurd. Now, I had a career in identifying absurdity. And I know it when I see it. It makes me question your judgment.
Senator Al Franken talking to Neil Gorsuch yesterday. He said that's an easy question to answer, and then he answered it himself. Gorsuch wouldn't. I think it's an easy question to answer, too, but you got the feeling Gorsuch knows it's the wrong question. I don't know what the question is, but I think he wasn't going to bite, and Franken was begging him to do it. We asked Northwestern University Professor of Law John McGinnis to join us this afternoon on WGN. Hi, Professor. It's John Williams. How are you?
Fine, thank you. John McGinnis.
kind of an interesting exchange there between the two of them. When you hear something like that, what's going through your mind, John?
Well, that the senator is actually not trying to understand the process by which the judge makes a legal decision, but simply trying actually to go back to his career as a comedian and trying to more act like a someone on the Tonight Show or something. Because, of course, you're absolutely right. That's not the question in the case. I mean, I'm no expert in the case, but as I understand the case, the question was, there's a statute that says it's illegal to fire someone because he's refusing to operate a vehicle because of safety concerns. But as I understand it as well, and I don't think it's disputed, the company gave him the option of simply stopping and not going on. And he didn't take that option. So I think the argument that Judge Gorsuch makes in dissent is that he's not protected by the statute. It's not a question of whether you would like to ride with the person who wasn't well, but whether he was following instructions and in failing to follow instructions was under the purview of the statute. So this is quite typical, I fear, for the hearings, maybe because the judge can't answer questions about what he would do on the Supreme Court. Senators are reduced or often take the road that Senator Franken did, which may be amusing, but not very legally illuminating.
Well, at the end of the day, he said, I do question your judgment. I mean, you're right. He wasn't asking questions that I think he was ever going to get an answer to, and he probably knew that. In fact, often that happens during these hearings. But he at least drew the conclusion for us that I don't trust your judgment if you think that guy should have been driving the truck or that that man did something wrong.
But that was irrelevant. Let me point out, that was irrelevant to the decision. The argument that Judge Gorsuch made in the decision was that was not the driver's choice.
Well, yeah, but...
So in other words, I don't think it is quite fair to say that, I mean, obviously Senator Franken could say whatever he wants to question his judgment, but the questions he was asking Judge Gorsuch really weren't about his legal analysis, but about an issue that, at least according to Judge Gorsuch, were not the legally relevant questions in the case. So I think in many ways, as often is the case in these hearings, they were talking past one another.
Yeah, or maybe the senator was baiting him. Maybe he, because, you know, if that's me, if I'm Gorsuch, I go, shut up. Look, you don't even know what you're talking about. Here's the deal, and bam, ba, bam, ba, bam, and I spike it in his end zone. Gorsuch could have done that, right?
It would have been a big mistake to do that. I mean, particularly, you have to understand these hearings as a political structure. Gorsuch comes in a very strong position simply because the Republicans are in the majority. And so he just wants to avoid making mistakes. And certainly a big mistake would be losing your temper with a senator. And you're quite right. Maybe that's one of the things Franken was attempting to do. I think in general, it was just trying to be amusing and make Gorsuch look bad to people who don't know the facts of the case or the law of the case, which is essentially everyone but a few legal experts.
Well, when he's talking to him, he's asking him questions that I think a lot of us would like to hear an answer to. So frequently during these hearings, if you said, how do you feel about Roe v. Wade? Or they asked him, if the president ordered waterboarding, would you find that unconstitutional or illegal? They asked him specifically about waterboarding. He said, I can't answer that. I thought, well, sure you can. Anybody can answer that question. Why wouldn't he answer the question about waterboarding?
Because that could come up as a case before him, and he really cannot answer questions that could come up in the case before him, particularly because the case may depend on facts. What if the waterboarding were, and of course, the famous ticking time bomb scenario, which is necessary, or an effort to get information about where a nuclear bomb was.
Sure.
Those are the kinds of questions that really only might be able to be only answered in a rich factual matter. And, of course, that's the context in which cases come up. And so the judge, I think, is following pretty settled practice of previous nominees, not to comment on any previews.
The judge is following pretty settled practice of previous nominees of annoying everybody. the answers he gives to the Senate are not binding. If the circumstances change down the road, or if he changed his mind down the road, he could always give a different answer. But I think it's reasonable to wonder how somebody who will judge the Constitution judges it, at least in the generic sense that the senator put it. What would you feel if the president ordered waterboarding? And if he said, well, I would find that unconstitutional, I think that's a reasonable question to expect an answer to, and I think that's a reasonable answer. And then if the circumstances change in a particular case, we could be shocked if we want, but that's our problem, not his. You can see where I'm coming from.
I would actually, again, he's taking the view of other judges, both Democrat and Republicans. I think it would be very parlous for a judge to then take a different position. He would be accused of having lied to the Senate, of misrepresenting himself. So I don't think that would be in the long-term interest of the judiciary. Moreover, I would say there are a lot of other ways of understanding what Judge Gorsuch thinks. He's an originalist. He follows the Constitution, he says, as it was originally the original public meaning of the Constitution. That's a judicial philosophy, and I think that gives people some indication of the way he's going to rule in cases without asking him indications of how he would rule in a particular case. So I do think his judicial philosophy is a fair game. It's just less, I think, exciting to some senators, because what they'd like to do is get him on the record of some issue of interest to their constituents. Once you talk about judicial philosophy, most of their constituents aren't very interested. So I think you have to understand this, again, through the prism of politics, and it's not surprising that a judge doesn't want to play through the prism of politics.
You do understand the point, though, that in general, all of us, you know, elections have consequences. The president gets to appoint a Supreme Court justice. All of us are very interested then in what are we going to get here. I understand the prudence you think that the hearing should be conducted with, but I hope you understand how, at least I think, and I think a lot of other people think, it's reasonable to ask some of these questions. We have a natural curiosity about these issues.
Well, you have curiosity, yeah, absolutely. And I think the better way to conduct the hearing would be on the question of judicial philosophy, right? Not talking about particular cases, but which is a real debate. How do you interpret the Constitution? Should you be bound by the original understanding of it, or should judges update the Constitution?
Yeah.
Those are questions, I think, which Judge Gorsuch would have to answer, and I think they're questions that do give you an insight into what he would be like on the court without asking some specific list of questions. The difficulty with asking specific lists of questions of how he would come out, it starts making him look more like simply a politician who has a variety of positions rather than a set of principles.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. It's 2:22 on WGN. Professor, hold the line for just a second. We've got some questions from listeners for you about this. And I've got a couple more myself on WGN.
It's back. Your fastest way in to see the Blackhawks play this season is by winning the Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing Blackhawks Ticket Giveaway. Listen to the Blackhawks on 720 WGN. Find out the giveaway times. Call in to win with Steve Cochran and Rokan. It's the season for free Blackhawks tickets from Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN.
When customers walk into Penny Mustard, the first thing they notice is the smell.
Sorry, I've been pickling radishes.
No, not that smell. The aroma of wood.
Well, of course, because Penny Mustard's furniture is made from real wood.
So when you catch a whiff of that fresh, outdoorsy scent, you know you're about to see the most beautiful, handcrafted solid wood furniture available today.
Trust us. Our team has been trained to spot the subtle, on-the-surface differences between hardwood and veneer.
Ben's even been known to spot it from clear across the room.
Yeah, it's a gift.
We even made a book so you can see the difference.
Because you're not an expert until you write a book.
But the easiest way to know the difference is the scent.
Yeah, particle board doesn't smell.
Yes, it does.
It does?
Sure, particle board stinks.
If you want the finest and sophisticated hardwood furniture, you're in the right place at Penny Mustard.
5 locations throughout Chicagoland.
PennyMustard.com.
Better versions of what people want.
Penny Mustard Furniture.
Okay, you've had enough, so let's get your body feeling good again. If hip or knee pain is dragging you down and making life unbearable, it's time for a trip to the Hip and Knee Center. They can help you feel like new again. The Hip and Knee Center has performed thousands of successful outpatient, minimally invasive joint replacements. And what sets them apart is all the experience they have. Advanced techniques like their new Bikini Approach anterior hip replacement allows patients to completely conceal the incision. And remember, no general anesthesia, no catheters, no blood transfusions, and no restrictions either. Recovery is measured in days to weeks, not months. Renowned surgeon Dr. Sean W. Palmer, founder of the Hip and Knee Center, is among the most experienced anterior approach hip replacement surgeons in the nation. His patients come from all over the world because of the results. So, if the pain's too much and you want to feel new again, make the call. 1-866-FEEL-NEW. That's 1-866-FEEL-NEW. Or learn more about the Hip and Knee Center at thehipandkneecenter.com.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Capel here, serial entrepreneur. We small business owners earn a few battle scars every now and again. 30 years ago, when I didn't know any better, I handwrote paychecks for my employees without withholding payroll taxes. Battle scar. Then I tried to give my employees 1099s at year end instead of correctly giving them a W-2. Battle scar. And let's not forget those times I messed up their payroll taxes. More battle scars, which inspired me to create simple and affordable payroll for U.S. business owners with 1 to 100 employees. Patriot Software's payroll starts at just $10 a month. We will help you get set up for free. We provide U.S.-based support for free. You don't have to make the same mistakes I did. Let us help you. Go to PatriotSoftware.com. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
Chicago Tribune delivers the stories that make the city with more journalists at work than any other local news source. Become a member today at ChicagoTribune.com. John Williams here. In this segment, we're visiting with a professor of law at Northwestern University. On a phone line is John McGinnis, and we're talking a little bit about Neil Gorsuch's. I've been saying but now I think I'm going to segue to Gorsuch's hearing. We played part of Senator Franken's questions to him, and we've been asking the professor if that's a reasonable way to try and figure out if this guy would be a good judge or not. Let me bring you back up. Professor, you know, one other quick case I just want you to comment on or hearing, and that was of Judge Bork. He was pretty glib with his opinion about things, right?
He was much more open. I mean, partly because he, as a professor, he had said a lot about everything, which professors tend to do. But it certainly didn't help him in the hearing. And I think after that, judges have tended to be much more circumspect because, of course, he was not confirmed.
I like everything about this judge that we're talking about. I think he looks the part. He seems really sincere. He seems really smart. Do you like Gorsuch as a Supreme Court justice?
Oh, well, yes, I do. And I'll say that one reason I like him is I'm also an originalist, and I think that's the most important fact about the hearing, which has come up a few times. It's, I think, very important to rule on the Constitution as it was originally meant, and because that allows the people themselves, rather than the judges, to update the Constitution through the amendment process. And I think originalism is actually part of letting the people in on the constitutional conversation. We've amended the Constitution many times, and if we don't like the Constitution, there's some things we shouldn't like about it, we should amend it, because the people themselves are in a better position to make those value choices than a very small group of elite lawyers.
Let's talk to Dan. Dan, you had a question. Thanks for holding. You're on WGN.
I had more of a comment about the issue you brought up about the truck driver.
Yeah.
And a little bit of the discussion you had.
Yeah.
L. Franken, or Senator Franken, or his official title, I'm a little lost on, but excuse my ignorance on that. And this judge, L. Franken's spot on about truck doesn't work, driver's doing his job, shouldn't be on the road, poses a danger to the driver, poses a danger to the public. driver's spot on. Do not take this truck out on the road.
Yeah, right.
I do, you know.
And then don't fire him because he does it. I mean, it's just kind of a common sense test. I didn't play the whole exchange, Dan, but that's really what they talked about, Professor, was also just the common sense of the thing.
Right. Again, I don't think that's focusing on the legal question. The law is not simply saying whether you should have fired this truck driver. The question is, was he protected by the law, which, as I understand it, protected him if he refused to operate a truck on the basis of the safety concerns. But as I understand it also, the company gave him the choice of stopping operating the truck, and he went and did something else. And so that doesn't mean he was legally protected. That's the legal question. It's not a question of common sense and would I have fired the trucker. There's a specific legal question in the case. So that's what the questioning of Al Franken completely obscured, and he intentionally obscured.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
The relevant legal question was.
You got the sense that the judge himself felt bad about the answer, but he felt constrained because he was very narrowly answering the question about the legality, not his sympathy for the truck driver or what common sense was. Tom, jump in here real quick with a question. We'll get a short answer, and then we'll go. Tom, what did you want to say? You're on GN.
Does the professor happen to know whether they actually changed the law? Because lots of times we do things that make sense, but the law doesn't
catch up with it.
I don't know whether they changed the law. It's actually a regulation of the Labor Department, and I have no idea.
Well, when I get to be king, that guy gets his job back, and he gets to sue him for $1 million, but I don't know that our guest would agree with that. John, it's nice to talk to you this afternoon. I really appreciate your perspective on this. You've helped us a lot today.
Thanks so much. Enjoyed it.
John McGinnis is a professor of law at Northwestern University.